Good morning. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. And as you can hear, my voice is not very good. And I apologize to you. And I'll do my best with what I've got. And we'll enjoy the time together. I want to share with you some more nuggets of truth from the Word of God. And I want to go into the 16th chapter of Matthew, please, if you're following this in the Word. And I want you to see that following the Lord Jesus is not the easiest thing you can do in this world. In fact, you will have people that are close to you and near to you and dear to you, and they will be the ones that will come to you and say, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. And they'll be full of wonderful ideas. The snag is their ideas aren't very thought out. They're not prayerfully thought out. They're reacting to whatever the conversation is or was. Now listen to this, because this verse 21 in 16 of Matthew, the Lord Jesus is getting his disciples acquainted with the idea that he's going to suffer and he's going to die for the sins of the world. And they have been told this and they know it, but they have rejected in their minds the facts that the Lord Jesus put in front of them. And that's easily done. And all of us tend to do this at different times. It's a great sadness, but we do it. We pretend. For instance, my dad died. I went to visit with my mother. Something happened outside the house, and she said, Bertie, calling him by name, something's going on outside the house. And I said, Mum, Dad's dead. Oh, she said, I forget. I expect him to come through that door every time I yell for his name. She could not accept that my father was dead, and she would not accept that. And so I would say to her while I was staying there for a few days, let's go and see the grave where Dad is buried. And so we'd go to the cemetery and she would cry a little and stand looking at the grave. And then she'd say, let's go home. And we'd go home and have a cup of tea and she was set for the day. Now that may sound silly to you, but after 60 some years of marriage, that was hard for her to let go and to accept that Dad had died. Now he could have gone to work, he could have gone down the street, he could have done 1,000 things, but he had died and he wasn't coming back. And I felt it necessary to keep on talking of the death of my father, of the burial of my dad, and of the fact that he was not coming home and we wouldn't see him again until we got into eternity. Dear Mum, she had such a trouble with putting that together. And yet she knew. She had been a Christian for as many years as I'd lived, and more. She knew the truth of the Word of God. She was thrilled with the Word of God, and the Word of God kept her going. And there were times when she was very upset about different things and she turned to the Word and she was comforted and she turned to the Word and she was given strength beyond her own strength and ability beyond her natural ability. Well, that having been said, let me say to you, we sometimes push important factors to the back of our mind, or we won't allow them into our mind, and we find something else to occupy our minds. Jesus wanted his disciples to know, verse 21 of Matthew 16, From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus. This is the stunning thing for me. How could you possibly rebuke the Lord Jesus? And yet Peter does it. He said, "God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but on man's." Now listen to this. There is something faulty. It's not with Jesus. Jesus is telling the total truth. And he is spelling out again what is about to happen. Jesus is telling the absolute truth. But Peter rejects that truth and pushes it to the back of his mind. And he says, "Lord, don't you dare say things like that. It's not going to happen to you." Then Jesus, verse 24, said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Now, there is a great statement. We could spend a whole day there and still be discussing what Jesus said and what Jesus meant and what was about to happen and so on. We can do that. Jesus goes on and says, "Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds." "Truly I say to you," said Jesus, "there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." What was denied? Well, the scribes and Pharisees, and those people who led the temple and led the religion of the day, they lost. They got so lost they didn't know where they were. They were so purified in their minds by the lofty words that they used and the lofty things that they said. And they were very clever, and they were able to put together all sorts of things that you and I can't do. And when they had finished their discussions, they said Jesus was not the Son of God. This is the whole crux of the matter. And so they rejected Jesus and said he was a charlatan and he was a phony. And the real thing was that they had that. They had the oversight of the real Christian thoughts and the real faith. And that this Jesus, why, he sat with drunkards and he talked to them. And he sat with gluttons and he talked to them. Anybody that would come to him, he would speak with them and try to help them and show them the better way. A rich young man came to him and he said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You want eternal life?" "Yes, yes," he said. "I want to live forever and ever." "Good." Jesus said, "That's great. You know the commandments, now keep them." The fellow said, "Well, wait a minute. I shall not murder, I shall not commit adultery, I shall not be a fornicator, I shall not be a person who steals." And he went through the list of the word of God that Moses had given. And when he got to the end of the list, he said, "Well, I've done all this since I was just a child. Now, what else is there?" And Jesus said, "I'll tell you, you only lack one thing." Now, Jesus was penetrating a place where this man, who was exceedingly rich, where this man could not function as a Christian. Jesus said to him, "Go out, sell everything you've got, come and follow me." And the young man went out all right, but he didn't sell all that he'd got, and he therefore did not follow Jesus. If there is something that is the impedimenta, the blockage, the baggage, if you like, that won't let you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then be careful. You know, this can be a myriad of things. My father had his own business. He had a factory and all that sort of thing. It was labeled for me. I was to inherit all this, and I didn't want it. I didn't have a wrestling match about it because I was in the Word, and I knew that I had to reject what the suggestion was. My dad said to me, he said, "You can preach at weekends, but work the factory for me during the week." And I said, "No, Dad, you haven't got it. Jesus needs me to work 7 days a week, and I need to be on duty every day of the rest of my life." And he was upset. Oh, he was upset. Well, now I'm older, I see why he was upset, and I understand that. For the one goal he had was to give me the factory. And you know, it didn't matter whether I had a factory or not. The Lord has always provided for me, and I've always been able to live a way that I enjoy living, and I've always been able to get on with my life and do what I've wanted to do carefully. I've placed the different things I've done before the Lord in his hands and asked him often, "Lead me, lead me, lead me. Don't let me be one of these chaps that leads you and then can't fulfill what you've said and done. Lead me." One of the things the disciples had troubles with was going to a different young man who had a lunatic evil spirit in him, and he was thrown into the fire and into the water, and he was burned badly, and he was nearly drowning sometimes, and he was an absolute lunatic. His father said, "Please help me," when he got to Jesus. "Please help me. I have a lunatic son." And Jesus said to the lunatic part of the son's life, "Come out of him now." And the lunatic part of his life came out and vanished. And as far as that boy was concerned, he was completely healed. What joy that must have brought the father. What incredible rejoicing must have come into that family. But you see, it has to happen. You have to put Jesus first, and everyone and everything else second. You have to do it. If the Lord calls you to go to the back streets of Binga Bonga Land to take the gospel, even if it be for only one person, you go. You go. I was asked to go to India, and I would have had a congregation of some 30,000, they said. And I was pretty excited, but I said, you know, this isn't going to work. Why? Said they. I said, because I can't leave. I can't leave because I've got another engagement. Well, what's that engagement? I'm meeting with three or four, maybe more, pastors, and I've had this engagement written in my diary for quite a while, and our prayers have been in that diary, and we've been praying about these meetings. They looked at me incredulously and said, how can you, for four or five people, give up 30,000? And I must admit, it was a great big temptation to say, I'll take the 30,000, apart from the fact that I like India. It was quite something. I put Jesus first. I'm not blowing my own horn, I'm just saying this happened. And when I went there, I caught malaria. I was exceedingly ill. But there are 4 days that I cannot account for. Not even now when I look back, as 10 some years, maybe 12 years ago. But the Lord had his finger on me to speak to those young men who were in the ministry. Gradually and quietly, we saw the turning of those men and the coming to the realization that the cost of being a disciple for Jesus was everything or nothing. Christ is all in all or is not there at all. It's very important that you and I sit and think this through. So there's some things that Jesus said, and poor old Peter got branded with the name Satan. You're a stumbling block, for you're not setting your mind on God's interests, but on man's. How easy that is to do. Don't do it. Turn away from it. Get involved in Jesus. Dear friends, I want you to know that the Lord Jesus is calling us into the service of the Lord, and he is calling us to give him what's left of our lives that we may honour him in all things. Now, Peter was rebuked. Verse 22 says, Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. Jesus wasn't being unkind. He was saying, I love you so much, Peter, I don't want to do this thing. Peter, I'm going to do this for the sins of the world, and you're just a small particle. But I love you, and I love you so much. Don't be a stumbling block to me. Get out of the way. Let God do his work, his finished work. Let him do it, and let him do it quickly. Peter didn't know, in some ways, exactly what Jesus was saying. And it's incredible how Peter's mind had to go and sort itself out. In another of the Gospels, it's said that he took a sword and he sliced at the head of the slave of Pilate. But all he could do was chop off the ear. It was not to be a fight. Maybe Jesus acted in frustration. Maybe Peter acted in massive frustration. If he won't fight for himself, I'll fight for him. Maybe that was his tone. We're not sure, but we can guess. And as you look at the scripture, Peter went at it. And Jesus said to Peter, put your sword away. We're fulfilling the will of God. Righteousness is upon us, and this is what God wants. What is it that God wants? I shall be abused. I shall be crucified. I shall suffer for the sins of the world. I will die. But in 3 days, I'll come back again. Have you ever thought of this factor? That because Jesus was both man and God, he had the mind of a man and the ability to think as a man. And he was looking at what he was going to go through, and that was not a comfort. There was no comfort for Peter. And so Jesus was still talking. Jesus was letting him know, I love you so much. I don't want to go through this. I love you so much. I don't want to leave you. But I've got great news for you. When Satan's done his worst, when the people have done their worst, why, I shall come back from the dead, and then I will always be with you, always be with you, and I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I will never walk away from you. We will be together as friends, we will be together as brethren, we shall be together as dear, dear friends. Jesus was saying that. And he was saying it in a shielded way. And Peter was looking at all the ramifications that Jesus came up with. And he was placing them in his heart in the right place where he should put them. And it came to Peter, well, I'm his. And when he had said a little while before, thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of God, the living God. Jesus had said to him, Simon Bar-Jonah, you have to listen to me, because flesh and blood did not reveal this fact, but my Father which is in heaven, he revealed it to you. Now with that enormous revelation thudding away in his heart, Peter went against it. Yet when Jesus picked up the ear of Malchus, the slave that was helping, and he put it back on his head, and it sealed immediately, it was there completely, and he lived the rest of his life, maybe with a scar, but it was there for the rest of his life, because Jesus healed him. And I think when Peter saw him, and when Peter ran across him, why, Peter said, hello, Malchus. The Lord is good. The Lord is great. The Lord is my shepherd. I'll not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. And did Peter's soul need restoring on this day? He leadeth me beside the still waters, and in the green pastures. Oh, what a greeting it must have been for those two men. And I believe that Malchus most likely did come to the Lord Jesus just from the fact of the miracle. I mean, looking at your ear laying on the floor and thinking, my word, I've lost an ear. That can't be very comforting. But Jesus stooped down, picked up the ear, put it back on his head, and here is the relationship between, I think, Malchus and Jesus. So you might think of some of these things. It sometimes looks as if you're being very harsh and very hard. I'm going to do this in the name of the Lord Jesus, and nobody is going to break me away from that. So you do what your parents don't want, what other friends don't want, and so on. It's quite alarming that we have these attitudes, and quite alarming that these things happen to us. But Jesus is the same yesterday, and he will be the same today and tomorrow. He never changes. With him, all things are bright and beautiful. With him, all creatures, great and small, are made. With him, everything is wonderful. So bring your life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Well, there are some thoughts there. Please use them and let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you will help us to quit all the things that would trap us and cause us to fail and to fall. And we ask you, gather us up this very moment. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and cause us to follow you all the days of our lives, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank you very much for listening. Bye-bye.